it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After hours of deliberations in the hush money trial of Donald Trump, jurors made their first request to the judge, asking for readback on testimony from former National Enquirer owner David Pecker and former fixer Michael Cohen. A senior Israeli government official in a local interview says the war in Gaza could last at least until the end of the year. IDF forces pushing forward into Rafah. The U.S., concerned of civilian casualties, is pushing for a ceasefire deal sooner.
The White House says it would like to see the conflict in Gaza end as soon as possible. National Security Advisor John Kirby responding to comments by Israeli officials predicting the war in Gaza will last through the end of this year.
Our view and our opinion is we got to get this hostage deal now. The time is now to do it, to get that temporary ceasefire and to end this conflict as soon as possible.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
A new round of storms targeting the Rockies and Upper Plains today, and cleanup continues in Texas following storms. This is ABC News. Automaker Nissan issuing an urgent warning for some of its drivers.
Nissan is urging people who drive certain Sentras, Pathfinders, and Infiniti QX4s to stop driving their vehicles. Those cars are fitted with airbag inflators made by Takata, which could explode in a crash and throw shrapnel at the passengers. Nissan recalled more than 700,000 vehicles for this issue back in 2020, but about 84,000 of them are still out there. Customers can set up an appointment with their dealers to fix the issue, and Nissan is offering free towing to dealers. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The community of Youngstown, Ohio, still rattled after yesterday's explosion that destroyed a building housing a Chase Bank branch.
It sounded like a big piece of machinery like fell flat onto the side street. That's how it sounded. And then you got a little shake with it. My initial thought is like, I've been in an earthquake before. I was like, is this an earthquake?
One person was killed. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them. Oh no, they're about to. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. Challenge to the 2011 law that stopped most public sector unions from collective bargaining got a hearing in Dane County Court Tuesday. Attorneys for the Republican legislature argue exempting police and fire unions from Act 10 is a matter of public safety.
The concern is, you know, public safety in a very particular way. That is, if the group strikes, there's going to be a big problem for the state of Wisconsin.
Attorneys for a teachers group challenging Act 10 say its Republican authors wanted to punish unions that campaigned against then-Governor Scott Walker. It's likely that the lawsuit will eventually make its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where liberal justices hold a 5-3 majority. Milwaukee man enters a guilty plea in the death of a transgender woman.
33-year-old Clayton Hubbard was charged with first-degree reckless homicide in the fatal shooting of 35-year-old Regina Maya Allen in September 2022. Court records show Hubbard reached a plea agreement with prosecutors to avoid trial, which was scheduled to begin on Tuesday. Hubbard, who'd previously pleaded not guilty, is scheduled to be sentenced in July. Milwaukee police were able to arrest Hubbard shortly after the shooting, based on Allen's dying description of her assailant and his vehicle. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two people are dead in the Marathon County town of Easton after what's been described as a double shooting.
Officers were called to a rural home Tuesday morning after someone noticed a person sitting in a vehicle overnight with the door open, saying that they had been in the same position for hours. They discovered two people dead from gunshot wounds, a 63-year-old man and a 53-year-old woman. Evidence suggests the incident was the result of domestic violence, therefore there is no danger to the public. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high pressure is sitting over the state today and tomorrow, bringing us abundant sunshine with calmer winds. And highs today will flirt with 70, rising just a touch warmer tomorrow too. The sunshine stays with us until the weekend. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 68.
And thanks for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for a conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We got a lot to get to on today's program. Coming up here in segment three, we're going to talk ag news headlines and much more from DTN with Todd Neely, environmental editor. We're going to discuss some of the Prop 12 language in the farm bill. Also, a lot of ethanol-related news for us to discuss as well, and we're going to dig in a little bit on the 2,4-D claims that are happening right now. So a lot to get to with Todd Neely from DTN coming up later in the show. Also at segment two, we're going to talk markets, get some thoughts on that latest cattle on feed report we saw last Friday, and much more. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services will be joining us to talk markets coming up here in segment two on today's AOA. We're going to get the show started today and have a conversation with Peter Orwick, the executive director of the American Sheep Industry Association. Peter, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, let's start with Farm Bill. And I know that the House Farm Bill, there was a few provisions in there that sounds like the sheep industry were fans of. Can you talk about that just to start for us, Peter?
Absolutely. The House Agriculture Committee has really stepped into the middle of the effort this month, and we're pleased to see the progress. And as far as the sheep industry, asked Chairman Thompson and the members really covered the sheep industry priorities. Our foreign animal disease management is a major lift and an ask from both sheep, cattle, and the pork industry. And then we follow that up from the sheep side. Very specifically, the only risk management we have is a wool marketing loan, and they were able to authorize that at committee level and give us our first update in 20 years that program has been available. And we add to that a separate wool program that really is aimed at the entire wool textile chain, which is important not only for fiber production, but it's critical to producing the wool uniforms for our American servicemen and women in America.
Well, good things to see there, especially with that wool marketing loan. As far as the Senate side, of course, we're waiting to see if there's any movement on the Senate side. I know there's definitely a different version of the farm bill on the Senate side of the aisle. Any thoughts, anything you've heard in terms of what we could see from the Senate for a farm bill here, Peter? Anything you're watching there as we're kind of slowly advancing this farm bill process along in D.C.?
Certainly, we've had the same discussions on the Senate side that we have in the House for almost 18 months now, providing background material research and really defining the ask of the sheep industry towards towards farm policy. And we've always had good success in the Senate, particularly on the wool provisions. A lot of times it's the Senate that jumps in first on wool textiles. So that's just another feather in the cap of the House committee recognizing our fiber industry from both wool and certainly the cotton folks. I think our foreign disease management is critical. We also have a sheep grant program that we set up a number of years ago that helps with business infrastructure, and we found great support, particularly in the Senate, on that. So as we come together over hopefully the coming months, it's a matter of how many months, obviously, but it's encouraging that we can develop agriculture policy in the U.S., and I think the extension last fall was a very wise decision. We're thankful that they did it. Now it'd be nice to be able to do a bill without another extension.
We're talking with Peter Orwick, Executive Director of the American Sheep Industry Association, here today on AOA. Peter, outside of the farm bill, I know as well the sheep industry just received some RAP funding as well, that Regional Agricultural Promotion Program. Can you talk about some of the grant award funding that ASI got from that RAP program?
Absolutely. Glad you brought that up. We are now entering into the fifth program under USDA to help with export sales. And for us, it's our American wool. We now export 60% and have to. The textile equipment worldwide is not very well concentrated in the United States. That equipment left a full 20 years ago, which meant that we had to learn how to market internationally. And from the association standpoint, we've been utilizing aggressively the USDA programs, market access, foreign market development, quality samples. And now with the RAP program, give us an opportunity to really focus on some of the markets, you know, beyond the Asian that gets so much of everyone's attention, including ours. So we're looking forward to utilizing these funds to try to find some more customers. We actually have wool buying delegations from Italy, then India, that are coming to the U.S., and then I think we go back into to European wool buyers that we bring over here, show them the product, and they tend to buy when they get here.
Some of those markets, you mentioned India there, for instance, et cetera. Where are some of those big opportunities in your mind for the sheep industry here in the U.S. to advance some of their exports?
You know, I think we're taking as hard a look at Europe as we can. You know, it's just, we have a situation in the wool industry, as you can imagine, the pandemic just was so rough on textile. Folks just weren't buying wool clothing to near the degree for over 2 years. That meant they backed up wool all around the world. We're backed up in supplies, but every other sheep producing country is as well. So it just means we have to be more aggressive to find those customers, and we have to keep our quality and our production in strong shape that we can meet the demand. So that's our goal, both in sending samples of American wool to these mills overseas and bringing those overseas buyers to here. They're like the military. They're like the American consumer. They all enjoy the story as well. You know, if they can meet the rancher, the sheep producer, the wool warehouse, as well as the wool trader. That all helps in the marketing message.
Well, plenty of things going on, and folks can stay up to date at sheepusa.org. And with that, Peter Orwick, Executive Director of the American Sheep Industry Association. Peter, always appreciate you joining us on AOA. We'll get you back on the show again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Peter Orwick there with the American Sheep Industry Association joining us here on Agriculture of America today. Again, sheepusa.org for more. All right, coming up next, that cattle on feed report we saw last Friday, pretty much in line to friendly for the cattle market. We're going to talk about that and more market news with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. He'll join us next on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Being blind doesn't always look how other...
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we're nearing the end of the month, which could always lead to some added volatility in the market trade. Wednesday's action, fairly quiet overall. I know last Friday we got that latest cattle on feed report, another report in the books, and fairly neutral to even slightly friendly, it appeared, to the cattle market. Feeder cattle, in fact, surging higher on Tuesday out of the holiday weekend. Let's talk about what's going on in the livestock, grain trade, and more. Joining us now for a market conversation here on AOA, Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services. Dennis, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Real good. Thank you for having me.
Well, Let's start, Dennis, with the cattle side. That cattle on feed report, as I mentioned, fairly as expected, it looked like out Friday, and then traders getting a chance to kind of trade that Tuesday out of the long holiday weekend. Feeder surging, little strength of live cattle as well. What's your takeaway from that cattle on feed report and some of the market reaction we've gotten here in the last day or so?
Yeah, as you indicated, the placements were down. While that was not a surprise, still a supportive feature, the trade is expecting, placements to continue to taper off over time. That is supporting the deferred cattle, DSFAB, April live cattle futures, and in turn, that is supporting the feeder cattle market. As you indicated, feeders pretty well exploded higher yesterday. And again, that's all being fueled by the lower placements and expectations of continued downturn in placements of cattle into the feedlot. Jesse, I guess on the opposite side, however, is the supply of 120-day cattle running approximately 6% higher than a year ago. Heavyweight cattle still a problem. Cattle weights continue to increase contra-seasonally. That's just virtually unheard of. And, of course, they're record heavyweights and running right now between 30 and 33 pounds above a year ago.
Well, it's interesting when you really dive into some of the things going on here on this cattle side of the equation. I know, too, box beef has been so strong as of late, and, you know, getting choice cuts and select cuts both back above $300. That's pretty lofty levels there, Dennis.
It is lofty levels, but I believe last year, I'd have to double check myself, but I believe last year we drove this market, the choice beef cut out to about $340 versus $312 today. The seasonal demand was slow in developing, and my concern is it'll be quick in being resolved or quick in peaking. I anticipate this demand to peak over the next couple of weeks as we finish up bookings for Father's Day and then 4th of July. And then you have a big void in beef demand, and then we'll see what happens with that cash steer market.
And I worry, too, you mentioned maybe that void in beef demand coming, and could that cause us to lose some support and stop this overall rally in the cattle trade? I think that's something that maybe a lot of cattle producers, if they're thinking risk management, they gotta take a long, hard look at that, just with some of that potential change in demand here as we get into the summer months.
Well, that's the feature, or that's the new hazard. And, you know, we worried, including myself, about a recession and how that would impact beef demand. Well, there is no recession, but we've had inflation, and inflation has been around long enough that it seems to be altering consumer behavior. And that's something the Federal Reserve wanted to avoid. And quite frankly, they have failed in that respect. Here's an example. Fast food inflation is extremely real. The McDonald's menu, prices on the McDonald's menu are up 141% versus 2019. Chick-fil-A prices on their menu are up 80% versus 2019. Taco Bell menu prices are up 57% versus 2019. This is hitting the consumer, the lower income consumer. But guess what? There's a lot more lower income consumers than there is high income consumers.
That's a great point there, and sad day when I can't get a McChicken or a McDouble for a dollar still, that's for sure. So a lot of things to kind of think about there. Hog side, too. Let's talk in the hogs. This hog market's been interesting. We've pulled back from some of the highs we saw a few weeks ago, trying to find support, it feels like. What's your assessment of this hog trade right now?
Yeah, you call it an interesting market. I call it a downright miserable market. It has just been miserable watching this market grind into new lows. We're just about ready to test the February lows, and then something nice happened finally yesterday. The pork cutout value was up over $4 at noon, and son of a gun, it stuck. They held that market together with the pork cutout value last night up $4.26, driven by higher hams, bellies, and loins. We've gapped higher this morning. We pulled back, tested unchanged a couple of times. And, Jesse, I guess in my opinion, this hog market is turning a corner right now as we speak, and it could be ready to move higher.
Well, we'll have to see. I feel like at some point we got to find the bottom here with this pullback, Dennis. It just feels like with the strength in cattle, I would have to think that's eventually going to have to lend some additional support here to help us find the bottom in hogs, maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, it certainly is necessary from a producer perspective because everything is below break-even right now. And we, if producers can't make some money during the summer months, there's just virtually very little hope of profitability in the industry. So it is really important to see this market get up and run.
How about in the grains? Let's talk over there. Planting progress numbers out Tuesday afternoon with the holiday. And despite the active weather continuing, we advanced things along for corded soybean planting, spring wheat planting, etc. These grain markets, you know, wheat's largely been the darling. Corn's been firm. And soy here the last couple of sessions has been under some pressure. Any notes for you in this grain trade?
Yeah, my opinion is not real popular right now. I'm looking for lower prices, and I've been waiting for confirmation, or you might say that the trade becomes comfortable with the idea that, hey, this crop will indeed get planted. And I think that's pretty much happening right now with that planting progress numbers that were released yesterday. This crop will indeed get planted. It feels like it's been a real late season, but yet we're right on the five-year averages in both corn and soybean planting. So we're really not even late. It's just the perception that we're late because it's not early. I think we've got a great growing season ahead of us. It's going to be plentiful moisture, according to my longer-term weather guy. And I think we're looking at a break in grain prices, in fact, possibly a substantial break.
So it feels like if that concern is out there, it's kind of the same in the livestock trade. If you have any feeling that this market could go to the downside, I know there's been plenty of farmers selling on some of the recent rallies, but again, risk management kind of just comes back around here, so key in markets that could be volatile like this, right, Dennis?
Oh, yes, and we've had some beautiful opportunities, again, to market the crop here just in the last couple of weeks, and hopefully many have taken advantage of that. But, you know, on the demand side, I think it needs to be pointed out that China has not booked one cargo of new crop soybeans from the U.S., and that's a pretty telling statement there. Also be aware that Argentina has just announced they'll be ready to start shipping corn to China for the first time ever in July. And so we continue to see demand shrink for both corn and soybeans.
A lot of things to definitely keep your eyes on for sure across the grain and livestock markets. And always appreciate the perspective. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services. Dennis, thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great rest of your week, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Good stuff there, as always, with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services joining us here on AOA today. Coming up next, we're going to talk about ethanol-related biofuels news, Prop 12 language in the House version of the Farm Bill, and much more. DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely will join us next here on AOA.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets were mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk down 9 to 1938, July up 28 to 1990, August up 29 to 1993, September milk up 25 at 1983. Live and feeder cattle markets with triple-digit losses on the day as the market lacked significant and sufficient support to keep trading higher. Now, many of the traders, while they believed that the cash markets could at least be steady, it was not enough to help move live and feeder cattle markets. Higher box beef prices were mixed on the day. Hog markets also moving mostly lower, while pork carcass cutout values were higher. They weren't willing to advance the market as they want to see more consistent support before moving the markets higher. June live cattle down $1.20 to $183.35. August feeder cattle down $4.35 to $260.25. June hogs down 2 cents to $93.77. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower as the USDA crop progress report showed planting approaching and even exceeding the 5-year average. Also, South America is expected to see some drier weather that will help with their exports of soybeans and the remaining soybean harvest. Wheat markets also moving mostly lower in a lack of bullish news. New crop corn down 6.5 to 478 and 3 quarters. New crop beans down 13 and 3 quarters.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, there are no shortage of stories happening throughout American agriculture right now. Everything from the farm bill to watching news on the ethanol and biofuel front and much more. And right now, let's take some time to run through some of the latest headline stories and more. Joining us for a conversation, DTN Progressive Farmer Environmental Editor Todd Neely is with us here on AOA. Todd, as always, good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm good, Jesse. Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Well, let's start with the farm bill. As appreciate your time. I know in terms of this House farm bill, of course, we've talked about it a lot here on the show, getting that passed out of committee, and still got a ways to go down the road here, but at least making some headway. I know a lot of folks on the livestock side are watching the Prop 12 language that's in the House version of the farm bill, the EATS Act. Talk, for instance, things like that, trying to look at a nationwide fix to California's Prop 12 and more. Talk to us about that. What's some of the latest you saw in terms of Prop 12 language that was in the farm bill on the House side?
Yeah, you know, Jesse, it's interesting. When the House version of this passed out of committee last week, it was done so without any debate whatsoever on the Prop 12 language. And so I think on the House side, that seems to be a pretty solid bet that that's going to be there for sure. Although we've seen a lot of opposition to it. It's actually partisan opposition to that language for fear that, it might be overstepping when it comes to states' rights and those sorts of legal issues. But as it stands now, I guess we kind of wait to see what the Senate will do. I think in general, when you talk to the livestock side of all of this, I think there's a big concern out there that we're going to have what essentially will be eventually like a patchwork of different state laws when it comes to requiring producers who export to certain states to meet certain housing restrictions when it comes to livestock and how they produce them. I don't know that, honestly, something like this in the farm bill, I don't know that it holds up at the end of the day legally, but that's something for other people to decide going down the road. But it's certainly there, and it's certainly front and center, at least on the House side of it.
Well, and to your point there, it does seem like that, for the most part, the livestock industry is very much in favor of a nationwide fix, and so we don't end up with a patchwork of different state laws. It seems like, on the surface, from what I've seen, that a lot of this opposition is indeed from folks who are saying it's an attack on states' individual rights, animal wellness groups, et cetera, seems to be the main voices that are against this from what I could see, Todd.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I think that you're always going to have that side of the aisle, or that side of the spectrum, I should say. Really, they're very vocal about a lot of these issues, and Prop 12 has been, as you know, it's gone through the Supreme Court. It's just been a real back and forth. And I think that, where we stand now, right now, Prop 12 is being implemented in California. And so it's the law of the state there. And the Supreme Court gave California pretty much its backing to do that. And so now it really does come down to the individual states. You know, states have the rights to pass these kinds of laws. I do think, though, at some point, even let's just say this gets through and it becomes part of the farm bill. I do think that it's going to continue to play out in the court system and perhaps even, even on a state-to-state basis. We could see this play out as it did with Prop 12, start in the district courts and work its way all the way up. And so it's certainly not something that's going to be settled by the farm bill, I don't think.
We're talking with Todd Neely from DTN. Todd, a lot of ethanol, biofuel-related issues we should touch on. I know just last week, group of Iowa lawmakers, Senators Grassley and Ernst, along with Representative Randy Feenstra, I believe, sent a letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan talking about RFS volumes. What's the latest you are seeing there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Iowa delegation has always been vocal when it comes to biofuels issues. And one of the things that came out with the set rule that EPA finalized was the fact that we had biodiesel and other advanced biofuels groups come out saying that the volumes that were finalized aren't enough. They had said all along that they know that they can produce more than what the RFS rule is allowing them to do, or at least giving them credit for doing. It'd be quite an extraordinary circumstance, although we've never really been here because the set rule is kind of a new it's new territory when it comes to the RFS. They set a number of volumes for a number of years, and it's something that EPA is going to be doing going forward now. But this would probably be the first time, as far as I'm aware, that someone had asked for an amendment to that rule. So far, EPA said nothing about it, and so I think it's wait and see, as it always is with the RFS.
Yeah, it's always it feels like we're just constantly in a wait and see mode in terms of the RFS. Another piece, a separate but somewhat related issue, I would say, with the ethanol industry. We talked to Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association about this last week here on the show. I know RFA and Growth Energy have filed a Supreme Court petition looking at small refinery exemptions. There we go. Another thing that has, I feel like, it's constantly been in the news since we got started with the RFS, Todd, looking at different SREs.
Yeah, and you're right. I think that, I think the ethanol industry was kind of taken aback when the Fifth Circuit basically decided that it was the proper venue to hear an RFS case on an issue that's been hotly contested for a number of years. The Biden administration came in, and they kind of reversed ground on what the Trump administration had done on small refinery exemptions. They basically went the other direction and said, no, we're not going to allow these. And so here we are. We have what I think it's 6 exemption petitions that were filed before the Fifth Circuit. And these the RFA and then the Growth Energy, asking the Supreme Court to take a look at it, and their contention is that the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is the place for these kinds of cases. And I think they have a really good case at this, because it's quite clear that the D.C. Circuit of Appeals has always dealt with these RFS issues, and the Fifth Circuit has really never inserted itself in any of these cases. And so I'm not a betting man, but if I were to bet, I'd say there's enough of a conflict between appeals courts on this subject that the Supreme Court may take on this case.
A lot of things to pay attention to, and I know all these stories we're talking about, folks can read more of Todd's work at dtnpf.com. Todd, one other story I want to make sure we have a little time for here before we wrap up today in this segment. Looking at these 2,4-D claims, the International Trade Commission's investigating these dumping claims in a petition filed by Corteva Agribusiness. It's something I've been keeping an eye on. We haven't talked about it a whole lot here on the show yet, but you've been doing some work looking at this story. What's the latest here in terms of what's going on with these countervailing duties and anti-dumping investigation by the ITC?
Yeah, well, for sure, the ITC is taking a look at this. They voted to go ahead and continue an investigation into it, which on the surface tells you that they agree with Corteva that there probably was some dumping by 2,4-D importers from China and India. Don't really know at this point what that means. I think it's going to go a while before we hear anything officially from the ITC. But it's certainly, when you talk about Corteva, they are the lone producer of 2,4-D in the United States. And so they obviously don't want to have to compete with China and India imports into the U.S. And there's some concern that this could affect, farmer supplies of this chemical. And so there's a lot of issues involved here, but it's certainly, when you talk about fertilizer and the ag industry, we've seen fertilizer prices come down in the past year or so, and they fairly stabilized. It's not what it was about a year ago or so. But when you start dealing with issues of supply and such a big case that this might turn out to be, it certainly could have a price effect down the road. And I think it's something worth continuing to watch.
And I know groups such as the National Corn Growers Association have been fairly vocal in their opposition to what's going on here as well, right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a point to be made. Corteva and other ag businesses have their interests at heart, and they should. But certainly when it comes to this particular one, it's a bit unique, considering that we've got one company that produces that in the United States. And so it's kind of a special issue. It's kind of something different, because we just don't see that a lot when it comes to supply and demand in agriculture.
No, very, very true. Well, again, I know folks can read your latest stories and commentaries and more at dtnpf.com. And with that, DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely, always enjoy the conversation. Todd, thanks for the time today. We'll let you go, get back to it, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse.
Todd Neely with DTN joining us here on AOA today. And again, no shortage of stories. We've talked a lot about the farm bill here in the last couple of weeks, but that 2-4-D investigation by the International Trade Commission, that's an important story that we definitely are going to stay on top of as well. And appreciate Todd joining us and talking about that here today on the program. Coming up next, we are going to wrap up today's AOA. Got a few more news headlines for you. We'll also recap the latest crop progress numbers and more. We'll be back here in just a minute on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Now, we tend not to think about.
At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season. And we're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Syntec Premium Full Synthetic Motor Oil is formulated for today's engines. Available only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season. And we're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
By CHS as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Thanks again to Todd Neely for joining us in that last segment. A lot going on in terms of biofuels and the ethanol industry. That letter from Iowa lawmakers to the EPA talking about RFS volumes. Also that Supreme Court challenge that we talked about a little bit last week on the show as well with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association, watching the Prop 12 debate and if that will get included in both versions of the farm bill as well. We got some of that language in the House version, of course. What about the Senate version? Well, now that the House Ag Committee has sent a farm bill to the full House, the key question is if the Senate Ag Committee is going to follow suit. Well, one senator recently provided some insight on that. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says that Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow is not giving up on reaching a farm bill compromise with him and other panel Republicans.
I think she's trying to work something out herself here in the United States Senate, and I think she's sincerely trying to work something out because I recently had a conversation with her, and she gave me a list of several things that I have an interest in that she hopes will bring me around.
But Grassley wants to see his USDA Spending Accountability Act to cap the Secretary's Commodity Credit Corporation spending discretion included as it was in the just advanced House bill.
Chairwoman Stabenow does not include the provision in her framework, but I encouraged her and Ranking Member Boozman to consider it in the Senate Farm Bill.
Now, Grassley says his measure would save $8 billion that could be used to boost crop subsidy triggers or reference prices. Stabenow and Ranking Member John Bozeman of Arkansas won a commitment from Secretary Tom Vilsack earlier to tap into the CCC for trade promotion help, the WRAP program. We got some of that funding announcement here just a little over a week ago. And Stabenow has lobbied House Democrats against CCC and SNAP limits. Now, Grassley, meantime, says that Majority Leader Chuck Schumer isn't ready to put a farm bill on the Senate floor.
He's going to try to get things done that have support within the committees of those subjects that he had on his list, and he doesn't see a bipartisan agreement in ag. And unless there's a bipartisan agreement in ag, there's no point in him putting it on the agenda.
Well, back in the House, Ag Chair G.T. Thompson hopes to put pressure on the retiring Stabenow to compromise, but that seems unlikely given her repeated public statements that she won't have her legacy be cutting SNAP. Nor is it certain yet that House Speaker Johnson has the votes with his razor-thin majority, even with some crossover Democrats, to bring up Thompson's bill. Well, also other news out of D.C., bio-based products, including fuels, lubricants, construction materials, and more are the future. It were the subject of several House Farm Bill amendments last week. Iowa Republican Zach Nunn offered and withdrew his bio-based products amendment after Chairman G.T. Thompson agreed to work with him to perfect it for possible later inclusion.
This bipartisan proposal improves the USDA's biorefinery, renewable chemical, and bio-based product manufacturing assistance program by creating a grant within the program for the construction and expansion of new or existing biorefineries.
Nunn says bureaucratic red tape has kept the program underutilized, limiting its effectiveness. Nunn co-sponsored the amendment with Illinois Representative Democrat Nikki Budzinski.
Bioprocessing is an incredibly important element happening in Central and Southern Illinois initiative. Our hardworking Illinois farmers are the backbone of the economy for this for our entire state, and I believe we should be creating more unique and innovative opportunities for our farmers.
Budzinski says that takes infrastructure to make fuels, feed, and even textiles to create those new markets and bring farmers into the future.
In my district, the University of Illinois is a national leader in biomanufacturing and is the proud home to the Integrated Bioprocessing and Research Lab, where students and faculty drive world-class innovation every day.
A separate amendment also withdrawn with a commitment for further review would give USDA a role to better define and clarify bio-based product labels to boost consumer and manufacturer acceptance and sales. Well, also looking at this week's crop progress numbers that came out on Tuesday afternoon, normally out on Mondays. Of course, though, we had the Memorial Day holiday that delayed that report one extra day. Even with bouts of heavy rain, severe weather across farm country last week, we did see corn and soybean planting progress and spring wheat all advance along in the week ended Sunday, May 26th. Corn planting moved ahead 13 points to reach 83% complete nationwide. That's one point ahead of the five-year average. We see that Iowa corn 88% planted, Illinois at 80% planted as of Sunday, and 58% of the corn crop had emerged as well. On the soybean side, planting moved ahead 16 points last week, now at 68% complete nationwide as of Sunday, 10 points behind last year's pace, 5 points ahead of the five-year average. Illinois and Iowa 72 and 73% planted to soybeans respectively. 39% of soybeans had emerged as of Sunday, with the Dakotas behind just a little bit. North Dakota, South Dakota, 9% and 17% emerged for soybeans as of Sunday. Spring wheat planting, 88% of the crop planted as of Sunday, 9 points ahead of last year, 7 points ahead of the five-year average. North Dakota, 84% planted for spring wheat, with Minnesota almost wrapped up with spring wheat planting at 96%. And 61% of spring wheat has emerged, 11 points ahead of last year's 50% mark as of the 26th of May. And finally, on the winter wheat side, crop development, we see winter wheat 77% headed as of Sunday, 8 points ahead of last year. Crop condition, 48% of the crop rated good to excellent, down a point from last week, but still up considerably from a year ago. So that is the latest crop progress report from USDA. How much more progress will we make this week as we got a few dry windows here before more chances for showers and storms work in here to end the week across parts of the country? We'll have to see how things kind of shake out here in the week ahead. All right, we're out of time on AOA today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk more about Prop 12 and the language in the House Farm Bill and much more with Chase Adams from the National Pork Producers Council, markets with Matt Bennett from agmarket.net, and we'll talk more Farm Bill with Randy Russell from the Russell Group. That is all coming up here on tomorrow's AOA. With that, though, again, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. As always, making us part of your day, I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on AOA.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Trains are everywhere.
you should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to OLI.org.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season. And we're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops and head to your local cafe on May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart